It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Coach, was there ever any consideration to starting Drake May week one, or has the plan always been to try to ease him along?
No, we always, you know, we kept saying, look, competition, and, you know, that is something that I truly believe in. And it was a real competition. It honestly came down, you know, to, you know, a few days where that separation started to happen. Now, the things that kind of went into that, you know, that pot as far as how we came out with this conclusion, I mean, there were many things that were weighted differently. And once again, you know, I just feel like me personally as the head coach here that Jacoby gives us our best chance.
Gerard Mayo yesterday. He was on the Greg Hill show earlier today. Keith, as you said earlier in the show, gives us the best chance to do what exactly? What exactly is Jacoby Brissett giving us the best chance to do? Keep Drake May healthy? What exactly is that?
I guess that's probably what it is. Keep him on ice. One thing that Curran kept kind of referring to is, you know, right now you're trying to develop good habits for Drake May, and it's less, you know, him getting hurt, but more, does he speed up?
Regress,
right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, so much, not to get in the weeds on it, but so much of Drake May in the draft process was the footwork, right? You'd have guys like Dan Orlovsky and everybody analyzing it, being like, oh, he's got to clean this up. And it looks like he's taken strides in that. But then if all of a sudden you're just running for your life constantly, is he going to be the guy that doesn't trust in his line and now he's just tucking the ball down every single time and all that stuff? But I don't know. Like, eventually you still have to play those guys. Like, every rookie, especially top, not just first-round pick, but like top 10, top 5 pick, they don't sit on a bad team for an extended period of time. It just doesn't happen. You know, we've gone throughout all of the offseason, oh, well, Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes, like, those are all completely different scenarios. Though these guys, especially now in the modern NFL, they start. Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, you throw them out. Mac Jones, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, like, you start these guys, they kind of sink or swim. Some are good, some are bad, some can be bad but still be good. Like, if you can take a bad year and then maybe you get the player a wide receiver, or you get the player a left tackle, or maybe an offensive coordinator in some of the cases, and then they really improve. Like, I don't buy into the you're going to destroy the quarterback.
See, I don't either. And, you know, Curran referenced Mac Jones. Like, oh, you got him sped up and all the good that was done at Alabama and all the good that was done in his rookie year, it all came undone. I just think some quarterbacks, some athletes are more prone to give into that. Like, some athletes are more prone to fall apart. They're not as mentally tough, or they're not as willing to fight through it. And I think Mac was one of those
but
guys.
Do you think it was the offensive line for Mac that let him down, or maybe going from Josh McDaniels to Matt Patricia?
I mean, I
think Mac Jones stinks. Like, like most people, I think he stinks, but he was competent in 2021.
Yeah, for the first half of it.
Yeah.
You know, and then that Buffalo game hit where they didn't use him, and then he kind of fell apart after that. And so I think there were cracks with McDaniels,
sure,
to your point.
For sure.
I think, honestly, I think the league caught up to him a little bit.
Yeah, that's probably true, too.
And I think he was willing to give in to some of those other things that happened around him.
But, like, if you believe, and I don't know if they do, but if you believe in Alex Van Pelt at all, wouldn't you say, all right, you sort of take him as a rookie, and then you're going to kind of grow with him, and you're going to get better. So in year two, it won't get worse. Like, the wheels won't fall off. And you'll put him in a position where you can kind of take his strengths and get the most of everybody around you. Like, that's what I would do. It's going to be a long year regardless, but put those guys out there, see if they can, maybe they're like C.J. Stroud, maybe they're a little bit better than you anticipated. And even if they're not, it's sort of a building block to start from.
Yeah, and again, you can have them go out and they may not look ready. Josh Allen didn't look ready all the time as a rookie. They didn't ruin him. Joe Burrow got hurt as a rookie. I know that's a lot of people's fears. They didn't ruin him. They were in the Super Bowl the next year, for God's sake. So I'm with you on that. But what happened with Mac Jones is interesting, and you don't want that to happen again. It should not prevent you from ever playing a rookie quarterback again or ever dropping a guy into a situation until it's 1,000% right. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on this. You can also text us at 37937. Keith, we're getting a lot of feedback on Kiefer Madness.
Yeah.
Which, if you missed any of that, is on the Odyssey app. Go check that out.
Poopers.
where did this one go? There was one that I wanted to get to. A lot of people are suggesting that this is retribution. Maybe Jim, as we call him.
Yeah.
He's letting his dog defecate on other neighbors' lawns,
it's
and
possible.
This is the retribution.
Like, there is two sides to every story, even one that involves a porch pooper. So,
yeah, you want to hear both.
Yeah, maybe this is retribution.
Good point here. Of course, he urinated when he went poop. How often do you do one or the other?
None of your business, sir.
It's a good point there.
The homeowner who wishes to remain anonymous, but who will refer to as Jim.
Jim. Yeah, so why does he want to remain so anonymous? Yep. Maybe he had something to do with this. I think we're on to him. I think a lot of texters agree.
This comes up a lot in Kiefer Madness.
Yeah.
Keith, we've discussed this in the past, but an individual is very concerned now that there will be copycats in Massachusetts now that we've amplified and put a spotlight on this story.
I don't doubt that. That could definitely happen. Yep.
You don't
Jackson
want
Pollock poop painting.
You don't want a copycat, that's for sure. So
that was
Kiefer Madness earlier today. You also last week, Keith, and I'm curious if you have any reaction to this news.
Let's hear it.
Jeremy Swayman, after your scoop and after going on the Shut Up Mark podcast.
That's right.
Your scoop is he wants $10 million a year. He's asking for $10 million a year. He certainly sounded like a guy who wants $10 million a year on the Shut Up Mark podcast. He was out there practicing with the Bruins today. In like a captain's practice setting? Is that what that was?
Like Matt Judon? Like Matt Judon showing up?
I see.
So it's not a holdout. So that's a good sign. Maybe I have no new scoop on this. So maybe these two have kind of, I don't know, maybe like the talks are going better than they were before.
Maybe they're picking up. Maybe last week was, you get the report out there.
Maybe
he goes on the podcast.
Possibly giving ground a little bit.
Maybe there's some traction towards a deal.
Yeah, because like you think going in, is there a number that the Bruins what's truly their best offer versus what is he truly willing to play for? Like, is there a number there, and can that number be the same? And so he's there, so I would say that's a good sign. But then again, you know, Jamar Chase has been in Cincinnati,
well,
and Matt
true.
Judon was in New England.
It's a good point. You know, just because you're there and participating doesn't mean that a deal is right around the corner or you're going to show up when it actually matters. I asked you this off the air earlier, so I know your answer, but it's worth asking. Leon Draisaitl got a new extension, $14 million a year, AAV, which is now the highest AAV in the NHL. I know that he plays a different position than Swayman, and this has no real impact, I guess, on goalie contracts, but it does go to what Swayman said the other day, which is, I know where the cap's going, I know my contemporaries, I know my comparables, and so the highest AAV prior was Austin Matthews at 13.25.
Yeah.
Now it's Leon Draisaitl at 14, and
helps.
Maybe that shifts the goalie market up just a little bit closer to the $10 million he's seeking out.
Yeah, I mean, I think it helps, right? Just any player in like setting a new bar, like that's great. Salary cap is going up, which Swayman himself pointed out. So he's well aware of all of that. And so him making 10, for example, I guess maybe doesn't look quite as bad when there are at least some skaters out there making $13, $14 million.
That's what I think.
Yeah,
I don't see how it hurts if the highest AAV now is going up and everybody's got to adjust northward. I don't see how that hurts him. So that's the latest there. From Scoops Keith on the Jeremy Swayman situation.
We'll see.
617-779-7937. Billy Lanny with all the latest in trending. Rough weekend for the Red Sox and specifically their manager.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
We're not playing well right now. You know, it's not going our way right now. And then we got to show up tomorrow and try to win the game, man. You know, we're running out of time. Let's put it that way. You know, I know what the other teams are doing. They're not playing well either. But, you know, the days that we don't take advantage of it is a wasted day. So we got to come here and find a way to win the game tomorrow.
Alex Cora, now that the Red Sox have dropped three in a row, including last night against the Mets. They dropped two out of three against the Tigers.
Sox got rocked.
They did.
Also the Tigers twice.
Yeah.
That's brutal.
The Tigers now are only a half game behind them in the standings.
Yeah, but like they're both out.
No.
They're both out. But yeah, no, I know.
But we talk about the Tigers, we're like, what a trash team. And it's like, oh, they're only a half game worse, and they just took
Cy Young winner probably. Yeah. And you did face him, but still. It is. I was holding on to this thing for a while, probably longer than I should have, but it's over.
Sox got rocked.
Sox, they get rocked.
Yeah.
And the freaking Royals, we were like, oh, they're all set. Like, the Royals are cruising. They took one of the spots. They've lost six straight games.
They're falling apart.
And you're still 4.5 behind them.
You're somehow losing ground.
They haven't won a game in over a week.
Right.
And you are 4.5 behind them. You don't play them again. And there's now less than a month in the regular season. So, man, I'll tell you, they were in it longer than I ever would have imagined. I thought this was going to be a 500 or sub 500 team. I took the under on like 78 and 79 wins, whatever it was. No, they could get there.
Still in play?
They could just bottom out like they did a year ago. Like, that's definitely in play. But just so frustrating when you lose two out of three to Detroit, then you open up the series last night with the Mets with a loss, and you're like, okay, that's it. Because the Twins and Royals were giving you a chance. Last week, I'm like, you can still catch the Twins. And then now the Royals have just lost six straight. So if you were playing halfway decent, you'd be right there. You'd be two games out.
Yeah, if you just took an extra game from the Tigers and you win last night against the Mets.
Don't get swept by Arizona. Yeah. Like, you're not asking for the world.
You're
here.
Right in it. Yeah. And the Royals are falling apart. Now you're applying pressure to the Royals. But so it's a bad weekend for the Red Sox, a bad long weekend.
Yeah, terrible.
For the Red Sox. And specifically, a bad weekend, I think, for Alex Cora.
Yeah.
And this is it's a minor thing. Like, it's Cooper Criswell. So, like, how much do we really care? But he has a perfect game through four innings against the Tigers. You have a premeditated plan of turning it over to Rich Hill. There's a pocket you like of lefties coming up. You felt like it was the right spot in the lineup to attack. So that was your pregame plan. But did you not pay attention at all to when Criswell was out there, five strikeouts in four innings, nobody on base? Perfect game. Nobody on base. And you're going to pull him out of the game. So
you got to adapt. You got to change. Well, it's not going to play out exactly how you envision it. He had four perfect innings. He had five strikeouts, 52 pitches.
Yep.
And was
it's not like he threw 100 pitches.
No. And he'd already gone through the lineup, no problem. And it's not like it's not like the plan is, all right, then we get it into, you know, Chris Martin like a healthy Slayton.
Wetland and Rivera at the end of the game.
Right, I was trying to think about it. It's not like it's Timlin, Embry, and Falk.
Right.
Like, you were going to Rich Hill.
Right.
Who's older than us.
Right.
By like a good amount.
Yeah,
like
good for him, bad for the team. Yeah.
Just came back into the majors this year last week.
Right.
And you're like, we got him.
No, right. The guy, that's a great point. The guy didn't have a job.
No
one wanted him. Nope. And you're like, we need to get this guy in the game.
Get him in there.
For a guy working on a perfect game, that's a great point.
Because he just mows down lefties. It's like, he throws like 80 miles an hour. I don't know if he's mowing anybody.
He mows no one down.
Nobody's getting mowed down.
82 mile an hour on the heater. So here's what I wonder now. Is Cora just checked out? Like, as you said, is he not adapting to the game and he's just a little checked out because the team feels checked out and he knows they're going nowhere fast? Or is there something a little more scary going on? I had somebody email me this. I thought it was a good point. If Cora weren't under contract, if he hadn't already signed his extension, and now he is lame duck manager, because this feels like a baseball ops, analytics, front office, dorky kind of move, right?
Like, Breslow is like, we get four innings out of Criswell, and then we're done.
And then we're going to Rich Hill. We like this stupid pocket in the lineup, and so we're going to go to it. That feels like an analytics-based move. It is an analytics-based move. It would lame duck Alex Cora push back on that and say, you know what? I don't really care about the reams of data you're handing me. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to manage it on some feel. I think Cora certainly uses some of the analytics and uses the data, but I also think there is a little bit of a feel there, and he's been pretty good at that. And not that managers have a ton of autonomy in 2024 in baseball, but as a lame duck manager, would he have been more inclined to push back on that as opposed to now a guy who is signed up long-term, literally and figuratively, on board with Craig Breslow at $7 million a year? Was he more open to go along with a plan like this as opposed to, yeah, you know what? I might not be here beyond the year. I'm letting the guy with the perfect game go a little bit farther because he's got a perfect game going. Yeah. And if you're watching the game, he's obviously pitching pretty well.
Yeah, I would hope so. Like, I would think no matter what the scenario, he's just trying to win as many games as possible. If you're under contract, you're trying to make the playoffs. Just like if you're not under contract and you're going to use that to stick it to the team and offseason negotiations. But maybe now, like, maybe these two have come to some sort of... You know, I thought there was going to be more butting of the heads. Like, it seemed like Cora and Bloom, right? Like, they would talk so much about how good their relationship was that you knew it wasn't.
Yeah, you're like, well, that stinks. Yeah.
And I thought that Cora would maybe push back on something like this a little bit more. Or is it, like, because it's such a long season and you do see it slipping away that you're just like, I'm not going to fight back on this. Like, yeah. Of all the battles that I will maybe choose to fight, this isn't one of them.
Right, the Cooper Criswell battle, I'm not going to fight that one.
In a 1-0 game. Against Detroit, like, all right, I'll go to, you want Rich Hill so bad, I'll go to Rich Hill. But it's so stupid to me.
Like, but to your point, neither one's good. It's like either he's checked out or he's like complicit in the way they're going to run things and he's just not going to have as much say.
Because if you're going to have Alex Cora and you're going to give him the amount of money that you're giving him, would hope that he's one of the few managers in baseball that's allowed to think for himself.
Correct.
That's the whole idea of it.
Yeah, why are you paying him $7 million a year to just go along with what the analytics staff wants, the front office wants? I can pay a guy $2 million to do that.
The Cooper Criswell game.
The idea is that he has a little bit more autonomy and a little bit more say.
Yeah, I would have thought so. And, you know, you're talking about so the Tigers, Riley Green, not to go too deep into the Tigers, like probably the only real, like, good player I feel like they have on their team. He's a lefty.
Meaning
DH,
in their lineup.
In their lineup. Yeah, they have the Cy Young winner. But, yeah. He hit his 20th home run in that game, right? So he's not, like, great, but he's probably their best player. He's a lefty, and he hits, what, second in the lineup. So Cooper Criswell saw him twice, but he couldn't see the rest of the lineup the second time?
Right.
So if anything, you would have had maybe Rich Hill ready for that hit. I don't know. Like,
no, that'd be the lefty to bring him in for. I get what you're saying.
You would think, but he got him out. He struck him out in the first inning, and then he got him to fly out, I think, in the fourth, and then the guy was absolutely rolling. Like, you got to call an audible there. Maybe have Rich Hill available in the sixth if you need him. Like, let Criswell keep going. Yeah, so that was frustrating. Now, they also scored one run in the game.
Their offense,
you know, the offense has had a lot of just power outages.
This was Cora's point after the game. Cora's like, look, we had a plan. Sometimes you get burned by it, which just to me felt, again, like resigned to, like, this is just what we do. I mean, don't look at me.
You could have won 1-0.
You could have. Like, you absolutely could have. So, but he blamed the offense after the game, and the offense has been scuffling. There's no doubt about it. So, the Red Sox feel cooked. The Red Sox feel out of it. They had an opportunity because the Royals are playing like trash, and they can't get back into it. What's Cora's role in all of this is something I'm very curious about because now he's here. And this is another August collapse and another missed postseason. And what's Cora's role in all of it? You can jump in at 617-779-7937. Sean is in the car on the quarterback decision for the Pats. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, how you guys doing? Love the new show.
Thank you.
I was just thinking that maybe Mayo didn't complete his statement this morning that Jacoby Brissett gives us the best chance to win the first pick in the draft. Is how he should have finished it.
It's possible. Yep, it's true.
It could be. I mean, look, the Brissett thing to me.
They're going to be a player for that all year long, by the way, regardless of the quarterback. They are very much in the mix. They are on number one pick watch.
Well, but like the more Brissett plays, the more likely that
definitely.
Is. Like, at least Drake May throws in a little bit of unpredictability there. Mm-hmm. Maybe they could spike or go on a run even late in the year. We talked about this last week. Drew Bledsoe's rookie year. They were bad all year. He played day one. He got hurt. He came back in. They caught fire at the end of the year. They won four in a row or whatever it was. They used that momentum for the next year. So, like, that's in the range of outcomes. If it's Brissett, who couldn't start a game over Sam Howell last year on a bad Commanders team trending to the number two pick, yeah, I don't feel good about your chances of winning a lot of games this year. No.
No, but maybe he's right. It gives us the best chance. You leave it pretty open-ended. People can kind of choose their own adventure.
Yeah.
It's like a Mad Libs.
Yeah.
And so he chose to say they have the best chance at the number one pick.
Best
You're
chance,
not wrong.
... at the number one pick, which could be...
Dogfight. Denver, Carolina.
Travis Hunter.
I would take Travis Hunter. I don't know. Do you have to... Do you take him at one, or do you hope there's a bunch of guys playing quarterbacks?
No, you want people trading up for the quarterbacks?
Fine.
Get down a little bit. Yeah,
good plan.
Manipulate that board.
It's going to be another fun draft. I know people don't want to wish away the year, but it's going to be another good draft season.
But these are the kind of calls we get when the team decides to go with Jacoby Brissett, and this isn't how they should run the team at the end of the day.
No.
You don't want to run it on buzz. You don't want to run it on fan interest and all these other things, although at some point that becomes a reality because it is a business, and ownership is going to care about that. Are people engaging? Are people showing up?
Mm-hmm.
Are people following the team? But you do feel like once that decision was made, people just kind of pushed away. And, you know, stories like this or lists like this, I guess, from Mike Clay, rankings at ESPN. I started to talk about this, and then Rob Ninkovich called us up.
Well, Nico had to fill us in on why he hates Mac Jones.
Well, he did. Mac Jones hates him. He called us about how Mac Jones hates him.
Yeah, that's right.
He was spitballing a lot of impressions.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Mac Jones is a great impression.
Not bad.
Bill one, I personally didn't get to hear enough of, although I did hear it last week on Greg's show.
Maybe next time.
The Matt Light one left a lot to be desired for me. You've heard that
Matt
before,
Light.
Keith?
Yeah.
It's not terrible. Yeah. But we were just starting.
I'm Matt Light.
Yeah, it needs more. Yeah, you need to polish that up a little bit.
It's all right.
So Mike Clay goes through and ranks all the various positional groups. He has the Patriots 31st in the NFL overall.
That
on talent.
Sounds about right.
That checks
is
out.
Is it Carolina 32
yes.
or somebody else?
No,
okay.
it's Carolina.
That's kind of the...
Every power ranking
pretty accepted.
See. Florio had his power rankings today. Pats are 31, Carolina's 32.
Yeah.
I think Frank Schwab at Yahoo had the Pats 32.
Frank Schwab?
Yeah.
All right.
Carolina 31.
Ooh.
Yeah, he said, it'll get the clicks.
Big Bryce Young guy.
Shake up the bottom
right.
a little bit.
So that's fine.
And so he has the Pats 31 on rankings.
Okay.
He goes through. Offense is 29th.
Okay? Seems high.
Defense is only 24th.
People want to hang around. Although, to be fair, when people were talking up the defense, that included this
Barmore
is like a month ago.
And Judon.
Correct.
True.
Two of your three best players, now they're gone. So I could see them falling in the rankings.
Okay. So again, this is full positional groups. He has the quarterbacks 27th.
Wait, what?
Not good. Well, what do you think they should be lower?
Yeah.
Lower.
Well, like Jacoby Brissett's the starting quarterback.
But it's the full group. So I think he's ranking May in that as well.
All right, but Brissett drags the ranking down. He's the 32nd quarterback, I think, that's starting.
So you think they should be 32?
Yeah, I don't know who's better in the quarterback room.
So you think
now.
He's being favorable at 27?
Yeah, so he thinks five teams have a worse quarterback spot right now?
Yeah.
I mean, I think like
maybe he's a believer in Drake May. Drake May's going to play 12 games.
There is upside in Drake May, but he's not playing right now. But anyway, okay, so 27. Okay. So I'd be interested to see what's at the bottom there.
He's got the backs 18, so middle of the pack-ish.
Yeah, I like Ramondre, but when you actually go through and look at all the running backs in the NFL, you're like, oh, that guy's pretty good. Oh, I like that guy. So 18, I think, is fair. Like they're middle of the road.
Receiver room 32.
Wow. So that's actually kind of low. I don't like the receiver room by any means. I want them to upgrade it. But if he's giving the Drake May a little boost at 27. Polk and Baker don't give you, and Pop Douglas don't give you a little boost. Check out the Chargers and the
Chargers receiver room is
horrible.
Quentin Johnston, the first round pick last year, looks like N'Keal Harry bad.
Yes, yes. Okay,
they have Josh Palmer.
Yep,
I think so.
There.
They got him like every year, right?
And they took Ladd McConkey in the second round, end of the first round. Where'd they get him? The receiver out of Georgia.
He was a second round pick.
I think he was right around where they took Polk.
I think that one's pretty bad.
That's a bad room.
Yeah.
Who was the other team you were going to say?
I was going to say...
The Commanders kind of stink. They had to get Noah Brown. Even though they have Terry McLaurin, they have to go get Noah Brown.
Yeah, so there's a lot of teams to me that have a room like that.
Where they have one guy?
Like the Giants.
I was going to say, Giants have Malik Nabers, but the other guys stink.
I like Malik Nabers. The rest of that room is terrible. The Commanders have Terry McLaurin. They subtracted Jahan Dotson, who had a bad year anyway. Like, a lot of teams have that to me, where it's one guy who's better than the Pats. The only way I'll phrase the Patriots receiving room, and I've been doing this now for a month or so, I think it's going to be better than last year, which is faint praise.
Yeah, right.
That's not a big compliment whatsoever, but I do.
I
kind of like the makeup of their room certainly more than a year ago. That might still mean they're 30, 31, or 32. What other room do I
got a really bad one.
Yeah.
Buffalo Bills. Steph Diggs is gone.
Khalil Shakir.
Okay.
Keon Coleman
is a guy who, again, yeah. we'll compare and contrast to Jalen Polk.
But he's a second round pick.
And Curtis Samuel's hurt, right?
Yeah.
That's a bad room.
And Mac Hollins. That
I like Mac Hollins.
Hollins.
I like Mac
That's
Hollins.
A bad receiver room.
Yeah,
like they're like Josh Allen. Like,
all right, Pat's room or Bill's room?
I'll take the Pat's room, and it's because it's two rookies and a young guy in Pop Douglas. Like, I'm interested in Keon Coleman. I think he could be the best out of that group. I don't like Shakir that much.
Pat's room or Chargers room?
Pat's room.
Okay, so we're arguing up to like 30.
No, yeah, that's it. Okay. Like, I'm not going crazy. No. I just think like they're not bottom in the other two spots, but they're bottom in that one. I'd be like, I'd bump them up slightly. But yeah, no, because if you go around the league, you're right. There's plenty of teams that might only have one guy, but he's head and shoulders above.
Yeah, yeah. They have a go-to guy.
Yeah.
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 He has tight ends 9th, which feels very high, and O-line 16. So the real way I look at
tight ends, not a super deep position across the league. And Hunter Henry's, you know, solid.
Yeah, he's on your fantasy team.
He's on my fantasy team.
I can't believe you didn't bring that up to him today. You didn't say Hunter, I landed the plane. I told you I was going to draft you. I drafted you.
I didn't want to put that kind
of
pressure
on
him.
Okay.
So I'm going to wait until Monday and be like, what the hell, dude? I'm 0-1.
Yeah, yeah,
couldn't get 3 touchdowns for me?
Yeah, what's up with you? Catches than you?
I need you to get 4 touchdowns for me.
That's smart. Lay that on him after they...
I think I have Schultz, though, as my starter.
45-3 week one.
Dude, what happened out there? I got you. I needed like 180 more yards out of you.
Yeah, come on,
like,
man.
What? You got to check your team.
So the real way I look at this is Mike Clay thinks their backs and tight ends and O-line are all fine. Not great, but like middle of the pack, watchable, fine. The quarterbacks and the receivers are dragging them down, those are the parts of the offense I kind of like if they play Drake May. I like the young receivers.
No, but isn't that amazing?
I like Drake May.
So if you take, and again, it's just one guy, but we've looked at some of these other rankings around the league. And so if he has the offensive line of the Patriots in the middle.
Yeah.
So basically, if it was the same coaching staff, many people believe Drake May is only not playing because the offensive line is so bad. So he'd only play for 10 teams?
Yeah, you said this last week.
Like, who would he play for?
You said this last week. And maybe I should look up his full offensive line rankings. I can do this because you brought up O-line rankings last week.
Yeah, they were low, but so was Denver, who's starting a rookie quarterback, and Washington, who's starting a rookie quarterback.
Right. So even if the Patriots have a bad offensive line and you can't play a rookie behind a bad offensive line, the Commanders and Broncos are doing it. So, and Mike Clay seems higher on the O-line than a lot of people do. So good point by you.
Yeah.
Owen is in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Owen.
Yeah, good afternoon. By listening to your summary of Cora and his comments on his decision to put Hill in the game, I'm guessing that you didn't hear Cora's most recent add-on, either last night or this morning.
No.
And he said to the person interviewing him, he said, this might be considered a little bit bravado, but I want you to know that I had a great night's sleep last night. And to me, that really is a height of arrogance. In other words, that decision, I could think about it for days and days. It's not going to have any impact. So I thought that was pretty strong.
So I did not hear him say that. So basically he's doubling down saying, yeah, I didn't lose any sleep over it. I missed that. His initial answer, and again, we paraphrased it earlier.
This one. Yeah. This was after this decision
this is after the game on
Chris
Sunday.
Well.
Yeah.
Was it basically a matchup?
Cooper's obviously had games where he's gone longer than 4 innings. Was this more a matter of the lefties coming up and you felt that?
I think it was the lineup, like I said. You know, we talk about it before the game. You know, it's like if we find a lane that, you know, it makes sense to us. You know, it was 4. Rich goes 2, you know, and then after that we go to the righties, we'll do it. You know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, you know, and today we got burned.
Okay, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Got burned, all right.
Anywhere in your scenario was the guy working on a perfect game and striking out 5 of
the
hitters he faced? Yeah.
Just not even breaking a sweat.
Yeah, so like I get it. The plan is we want 4 innings from Criswell and then we'll try to piece it together with Rich Hill for 2. Did you watch any of the game in between? And would Cora have handled it any differently if he wasn't under contract? That's really what I am intrigued by now. And an emailer sent me that note, and I thought it was an interesting point. Cora might not have gone along with it if he was a lame duck.
Yeah.
But now that he's making $7 million a year, he says, all right, whatever. I'm signed up for this. I got to listen to these guys.
That's fine.
I got to pick my battles,
like
you said.
I'm not
going to
die on the Cooper Criswell Hill. Like,
exactly.
You kind of get it.
But okay, I had not seen that other line from him that I slept okay.
Well.
Didn't lose any sleep.
Yeah, because you guys are right in the thick of the playoff race now.
It's a long weekend, too. You know what I mean?
They're just, yeah, it is a long weekend.
Yeah,
that's true.
Maybe less for him.
I don't know if you guys have as much sleep as Christian Gonzalez, but he's doing all right.
It's true. Get on that Christian Gonzalez sleep plan, which if you missed any of our interview with Christian Gonzalez, you're going to want to check that out.
Yep.
Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get that on your phone. It's free. It's easy. Hunter Henry there as well. Tommy Curran, his weekly hit. All of the Rob Ninkovich impressions. You're not going to want to miss
there.
Those either.
Yep.
All over the app on YouTube as well. You can subscribe to WEEI. We'll get to the grab bag next.
It's time for grab bag.
It's time for Grab Bag. All right, here we go. It is time for Grab Bag on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Andy Hart from the afternoon show is in the house as well as we rip through some topics we didn't get to. Yes, Jones?
Can I just peel back the curtain a little
peel
bit
it back.
Off air? We're still going through all the recommendations Christian Gonzalez gave us on Netflix earlier today. Yeah, just still.
Top 10s.
Right.
Whatever you got, top 10 TV show, top 10 series, top 10 movies.
So many recommendations.
Well, you guys got the scouting report on him. He's Stephon Gilmore, which is quiet, doesn't say a lot, understated, so... I think it's, you know, it's not on the interviewee, it's on the interviewers to get the job done.
Yeah, it's
all right.
I agree.
All right, tough guy. What would you have asked Christian Gonzalez today?
I got nothing.
Okay.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up. This is my
grab bag.
Boston College kicked off the season, the Bill O'Brien era, with a big win over number 10 Florida State. They will not be number 10 for long.
No.
That is a awful, awful team, but you know, both can be true. Florida State can be bad, and it can be a great win and a great start for BC.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. You're a Bill O'Brien guy.
100%.
Okay.
That's a huge win.
It is.
A great win on the road.
It is, but Florida State is not good.
Nope.
I'm with Keith on this.
They're so bad.
Their quarterback. Okay.
Their quarterback is the Pitts. How is he the best quarterback that Florida State has?
He's convinced three schools that he's a big-time college football starting quarterback.
So I bet Florida State against Georgia Tech last weekend when they were in Ireland a week ago Saturday. I didn't realize. I watched him at Oregon State last year. I had seen him at Clemson previously. I didn't realize he was the Florida State quarterback. It shows how plugged in I am on these. I'm like, let me bet Florida State. I watched their first drive. I'm like, crap, I bet Florida State this guy's their quarterback.
Stinks. He sucks everywhere.
He's about to get benched, right?
Yes, he should.
They
were chanting for somebody.
Yeah.
And whoever the backup is.
Chris Ricks is rolling over in his grave.
Florida State, bad. But it is still a good win for BC. First game for Bill O'Brien. It's on the
Castellanos
road.
Castellanos is fun to watch.
Yeah,
fun player to watch.
Well, especially when he plays that way, sort of within himself,
run
rush for 250 yards, whatever the hell they rush for.
They ran like 50 times. I think they only threw 16 times. They ran like 50. Yeah.
Heavy in favor of
39 minutes.
Dominating.
Like
heavy.
Don't get used to that and expect Sunday to see similar things, because I'm pretty sure that offensive line is better than the Patriots' offensive line. Oh. Would you switch right now?
Yes.
If Jerod Mayo had...
State has guys that are going to get drafted left and right on that defensive line.
They keep saying that, but they kind of stink.
Yeah.
They stunk
that
against Georgia Tech, and now they stink against BC. Maybe they just stink.
Or maybe BC's line is just that good.
So BC
on... Tech runs the ball a lot. Maybe they're good.
Saturday,
maybe.
They take on Duquesne.
Oh, they're going to manhandle
2-0, baby.
Manhandle them, yeah.
Trap
is that
game.
Is Duquesne D1?
Good question. I don't think so.
1AA,
okay.
I think.
And then they got at number 11, Missouri. That's a big
Duquesne game, trap game.
You gotta beat
Billy
Duquesne.
Ogue needs to pull out the mouse traps, the old Parcells,
you gotta do
hanging
it
from the ceiling over there.
Whatever you can to beat Duquesne.
It's raining.
Grab bag.
Angel Reese set the WNBA single-season rebound record. Does that do anything for your heart?
Not really.
My calculations are correct. When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're going to see some serious...
Grab bag. Does she really do what...
We're on to the next bag here.
That was my time.
That was it.
Okay.
Those kind of separate it.
Oh, okay.
It's easier for us to go
proceed,
back on
sir.
It.
My bad.
A lot of rebounds, though. You want to talk about the rebounds?
Well, I was just... All the memes on the internet tell me most of her rebounds are offensive because she misses her own shots. Is that true?
There's
watched a lot of her
little
games.
Ricky Davis trying to get a triple-double.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
a lot
not
of that.
Fair.
That's a good approach.
You know,
rebounds are rebounds.
Didn't Moses Malone do that?
I was going to say, if you're good enough to pull it off, just like play with the backboard, like bounce it up. Oh, three rebounds, layup.
It's literally the George Mikan drill. And he's in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, man, but that's not against people.
Hit him with a Mikan drill. Reverse Mikan drill. Don't bing that on a work computer. But yeah.
No way you could do the Mikan drill right now.
I can do the reverse mic and drill.
I did it on the way in.
Reverse mic and like
I don't know what that is, but I'll be Googling it soon.
Caleb Williams named one of 8 Bears captains. Caleb Williams. I was watching a little bit of the Hard Knocks. I went back. I wasn't watching it live. Your guy Shane Waldron, though, all over the Hard Knocks.
Let's go.
Bose. It's okay.
He should be the captain. He's the quarterback on the team. I said this about Mac his rookie year. They should have made Mac a captain that year. He's the quarterback. Of course, he's a leader on the team. At least the Bears announced him and made it clear that he was a captain. I think I didn't follow it super close.
So take this for what it's worth. So my wife and I are watching Hard Knocks, maybe 5 or 6 minutes. A lot of it's Caleb Williams.
Uh-huh.
She goes, he's not going to be very good.
Really?
She doesn't know or care about sports at all, but that was her bold prediction.
Wow.
She was like, there's something about it. Like, he won't be good.
Something I don't like.
She's like, do you think he'd be good?
Was he sobbing on his mom? Is that what it was?
It wasn't even that.
Wow, okay.
It wasn't even that. I was like, oh, okay.
Was it holding hands with that rapper on the internet?
Nope, wasn't that. No, it was just like normal. Like, I don't know if he's at practice just like talking to other guys on the team or talking to coach. And she's like, I don't think he's going to be good.
Well, how's her history in these types of things?
I don't remember.
Spotty. She married you.
Yeah, she did.
Spotty. I want to go home and cuddle my dogs.
Grab bag.
Take it away.
All right, let's see. Ricky Pearsall will be out at least 4 games after being shot over the weekend in an attempted robbery in San Francisco. But the first-round pick out of Florida, crazy story, was in the hospital. And he's got to be fine, but out for the first month of the season.
Yeah, it was like a 17-year-old tried to take his watch in the middle of the day in Union Square in San Francisco. So it's been a weird start, to put it mildly, for him. In San Fran, he hasn't been healthy. He hasn't been on the field. They had all this drama with Brandon Ayuk. They took him in the first round. You thought maybe that was a sign that they would move Debo or Ayuk, and now they need those guys more than ever. So, yeah, it's just a wild story, and a guy who's probably not going to be on the field anytime soon. Mm-hmm.
I think Darius Slay will complain if they have to go to San Francisco due to the crime and violence out there. Like, he's complaining about Brazil.
He's bitching about Brazil.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd bitch about Brazil, too.
Yeah, they don't.
I'd bitch about anywhere that wasn't Gillette Stadium or the whatever else you go.
They don't play anywhere near San Francisco. They play like a...
Oh, that's true. Oh, yeah, it's like a half hour away.
Yeah, yeah, they play San Jose, basically. So, yeah, they don't play anywhere near there anymore.
That they may take our lives, but they'll never take...
Grab bag.
Latest hashtag dork podcast available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts, where we did the top 50 movies of all time. A lot of mixed emotions on this one. It was a pretty intense.
A lot of criticisms.
Any spoilers? Any spoilers?
I'm not going to spoil anything. You have to listen to it. The Natural did not make it. One spoiler.
Stupid list.
One spoiler, no Natural. Although, I don't even know if any sports movies made it now that I think about it.
You don't have a single sports movie?
In the top 100?
Top 50.
I'm sorry, top 50. Yeah, you're right. Sorry,
you can use the same voice. Just say it over. Do it again.
Yeah, top 50. No.
Rocky, ever heard of it?
I did hear
Rocky
of it.
Rocky 4?
It got votes. Yeah, Rocky, it's great.
Oh, the Fish to Save Pittsburgh, ever heard of it?
Ended the Cold War. Yeah, I did. Did not crack it.
Honorable Days of Thunder?
No. Days of Thunder did not make it.
Ladybugs?
Honorable Mentions, receiving
those are all
Rudy? Remember the Titans?
Dude, Rudy for sure would not have made it. Remember the Titans?
Juana Man?
Did not
make
it.
No sports movies? How is that possible?
There's a lot of movies made.
What was the one where Whoopi Goldberg coached the Knicks?
Eddie? Yeah,
no, Eddie.
Not in the top 50?
You can tell a dork made this.
Big Green?
Did not make it. You can throw them all at me. I'm just telling you, there's no sports movies on there.
Were there any actually considered?
Yeah, Rocky. Rocky was pretty high up in the list.
51.
Yeah, it was probably
51. Last one out.
Yeah, they're all 51st. Ah, that one must have been 51st.
Christian Gonzalez somewhere is taking notes. He's like, I gotta watch all these wrecks.
All these sports movies, I gotta get them on my list.
No Major League, huh?
Yeah. No, so Major League I love. Blue Chips I love.
Caddyshack?
Caddyshack got votes but didn't make the list.
Mm. Is this just individual or do they fall under like franchise?
No, specific movie. So, like, yeah, you didn't do like Rocky franchise.
The Program? Programs are good.
Also, Program might be my favorite football, but that did not make it, no. Sad.
Should we direct Christian Gonzalez to the Dork Podcast?
Yeah, tell him it's free. Rex. You can just subscribe there.
Yeah.
There's a YouTube and everything. So, yeah, check it out. All right, there you go.
Well, hello, Mr.
Grab Bag.
I'll do it.
Good stuff.
That's it.
What do you guys got coming up today? I know you're talking to Brissett at 3.
Yeah. Brissett at 3.
The starting quarterback.
Jones at
Jonathan Jones at 4 o'clock. So that will continue our Patriots Monday on a Tuesday.
Do we have to say that every time we announce Jacoby Brissett? Say the starting quarterback, just so everybody's aware.
Starting quarterback for now, Jacoby Brissett.
I don't know.
It's like a Tribe Called Quest. You know,
quarterback. A bit. Jacoby, we love you.
It's kind of what we ran into with Mac last year. It was like every
Here
week it was like a real.
We think
is he still starting? Is he not?
Who would you rather watch play, Mac Jones or Jacoby Brissett?
Jacoby Brissett.
Thank you. I think you shouldn't have to think. I don't know. One eye is closed and you're thinking. No. It was an easy question with an easy answer.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to watch Jacoby Brissett, but.
Who cares?
Well, you said who I'd rather watch. Who was better
based
in the preseason?
Based on the preseason? Or
yes.
No, I'd want to watch Jacoby Brissett. I never want to watch Mac Jones again.
Who would I rather talk to and listen to here on WBI?
Jacoby Brissett.
Sure, who would you rather slap the crap out of?
Ninkovich called us to clarify.
Who would you rather watch Rob Ninkovich slap?
Mac Jones. He was slappable, punchable, kickable. He was all of it.
Yeah, that's Mac in a landslide. All right, so the starting quarterback, Jacoby Brissett at 3, Jonathan Jones at 4. Stay tuned. You got Arcan, you got Andy Hart here on WEI. I will talk to you tomorrow at 10 o'clock.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.